Blog Talk Radio.
Well, folks, welcome to one more edition of Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis, your host. Thank you very much for spending this time with me. As you can see from the title of the show, it seems like we're going to be discussing the story of the day or the story of the week. But I think I want to take it quite a bit deeper than the title would indicate, codified prejudice in an attempt to force their will. I think everybody knows what I'm talking about there. We're talking about Indiana. We're talking about Arkansas. But should we not be talking about North Dakota as well? Of course we should be talking about North Dakota as well. But I digress. Before we get into any specifics, let me first tell you about a little bit of news. You all know that the president, under the auspices of the great Secretary of State, John Kerry, got a very strong parameters for an agreement. I don't want to call it an agreement because it is not that. It states the parameters that one hopes accomplished if this agreement with Iran is realized. And this is rather important, folks. I actually went to the whitehouse.gov site to pull down that specific, the verbiage specifically detailing the Iran policy or the Iran agreement. So, I mean, I think it behooves all of us to read it and not listen to what we're hearing from the mainstream media or what we're hearing from the right wing. And guess what, folks? Everybody is talking about the right wing coming out against this. Beware, it is deeper than that, because Democrats, spineless Democrats, I must call them, are attempting to undermine what is actually going to be the potential, the possibility of having peace with Iran. And do remember, folks, we like to treat Iran like it is some sort of a crazy Muslim country. Iran has some pretty darn some history, including a democratic history usurped by the United States in 1953. So, I mean, if we could come to some agreement with Iran, we should. I like to ponder, and before I get into the real subject of the show today, I'd like folks to ponder something. You know, we are so concerned that Iran is going to build that bomb, but nobody talks about how many bombs surround the Middle East, given the fact that Israel has their own bomb as well. So, if we are going to be quiet about Israel having bombs, we probably should be quiet about nations like Iran attempting to have a bomb and now willing to say in their own fatwa, whether you believe it or not, well, as Reagan would always say, we trust and we'll verify. But, I mean, here's the deal. Let's work towards peace. Luckily, Americans in their first poll, before the poll got polluted by what the mainstream media will likely do, which is take the right-wing position and the spineless Democratic positions, the polls state that approximately 60% of the American citizenry is in support of this deal. Likewise, folks in Iran, in as much as they haven't really explicitly told their population exactly what the deal is all about, because of the fear that the same type of right-wing extremists in Iran as we have here in the United States will try to squash the deal. So let's keep a positive face. Let's encourage our politicians to move forward for peace instead of an unending war and move this thing forward. I see I have some calls that are already up waiting to be answered. So let me go ahead and should I read the blog of the week? I'm not going to read the blog of the week right off now unless there's some reason to do so. But as you know, it turned out that Mike Pence backed down. He went on to This Week with George Stephanopoulos and said there was nothing discriminatory about the bill the freedom, or what is it called, the Religious Freedom Restoration Act. I didn't realize we needed to restore religious freedom. I thought already the people that are sort of undermined in this country are those that are not religious. But anyhow, that Restoration Act, he claimed it had nothing to do with discrimination. And as much as his ilk preaching that the signing of this bill ensured that a florist can now officially not serve gays. I wonder who else they would not be able to serve. I don't know. I am not sure. I really am not sure. But anyhow, luckily, the American populace rebelled. But it wasn't the American populace that got the change, folks. It was our corporate entities forcing the change because of the fear that some one of these corporate entities would be targeted. Corporate entities that had business in Indiana. So remember, this is not a victory specifically for the citizenry. It's a victory for personhood, for corporations being people that are able to tell their politicians, you cannot do that. So we still have a whole lot of work to do. It is not as simple as believing that, wow, populace, we won this battle, because as North Dakota has shown by them not being able to pass a law that prevents, a civil rights law that prevents them from discriminating against gays, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. We have a lot of work to do. Still, we have a lot of work to do. So let me see, 732, who do I have the honor of speaking with? 732.
Hey, John from Jersey, how's it going?
Hey, John from Jersey, come on in. What's your thoughts, sir?
Well, I think, isn't Walmart in Indiana? They
Walmart is everywhere, sir.
No, I think the headquarters. I think so.
Wait, no, the Walmart headquarters is in Arkansas.
Oh, it's in Arkansas. Okay, sorry about that. But the thing with the Iranian thing, which a lot of people don't know, is that the facilities that they've had, which they're likely making nuclear weapons. They are, most likely. They are so deep that Israel couldn't hit it. They can't. They can't. And they've talked about this, and a lot of people don't know about it. But also, we have that one bomb that's like 17,000 pounds and this and that, and some of these other bunker bombs.
It's called
bombs
a bunker buster, yeah.
Bunker
it's
busters.
Called a bunker buster
ours,
bomb.
Ours can't even hit it. They've talked about it. They are so deep. So there is only one way. There is only one way. We have to get in there. There is only one way. Now, we've basically amassed to where, over the years, we've allowed them to keep running the chances of getting a bomb. So yes, okay, both, the administrations, the Bush, and into the Obama administration have had some wrongs here. You know, there's been some wrongs, but there's been political pulls against the Obama administration from doing anything proper and right, and hopefully now they will. And we're not the only one here. You know, everybody thinks it's just us. We've got our allies who want to do business with Iran, and they're putting pressure on us. You got, England, Germany, France, okay? And then who else doesn't want to see them with bombs? You know, you got other large world powers that don't want to see that. You got India, China, and Russia that don't want to see them with a bomb. So, it's not just us. Everybody thinks it's just, we're the world power. We're going to dictate this whole thing. And this agreement was an agreement between, other players.
Right. Now, let me tell you, John, I titled my show today, it's interesting, Codified Prejudice in an Attempt to Force Their Will, right?
Oh.
And I was keying it off of what occurred in Indiana, what occurred in Arkansas, what occurred in North Dakota. But yep. After reading a whole lot of news, I put it up on Facebook. I said the show will not only be what you think it is, simply because I didn't want to make talk about prejudice as only being the gay thing, the racial thing, but also the way we deal with countries. So when you brought up the Iran thing, you kind of jumped ahead of where I wanted to go as
with the Iran issue,
because in effect, when we have a title that says "In an attempt to force their will," take a good look at how the operations are occurring in this country for people to effect their will, immaterial or irrelevant to what the population actually wants. If we take a look at what Americans want right now, Americans do not want war, but codified prejudice against Iran is what allows those that are willing to attempt still to have the military-industrial complex foment war for us, use that in their favor. I mean, think about this. Yesterday, Wilkerson, I don't know how many people know who Colonel Wilkerson is, Lawrence Wilkerson. He was Secretary of State Powell's deputy. And he has come out and strongly said, my party wants war. Unfortunately, I'm not going to give all those kudos to Lawrence, or I'm not going to only give the, because I am listening to a whole lot of Democrats right now, and there are a whole lot of Democrats right now that are, they claim they're in a wait and see modal, which is rather silly. They have a framework. Yes, we do not know the details of this framework, but we do know what the outcome is to be, because that's what the framework is. What will be the outcome? What has to be negotiated is how do we get there. Same applies to Indiana, and I'm reversing this back into an attempt to force their will, codified prejudice. Mm-hmm. Think about it. What we got in Indiana. Right. What we got in
Indiana. I understand the skepticism.
Okay, I'll let you talk and then I'll go to Indiana. What do you think about the skepticism? What are you trying to say?
I understand the skepticism of the deal. I do. I really actually do. But, yes, there is no other option better than this at this point to get there. And I understand the skepticism because there's talk about the Iranians don't want it to where we can go to their military complexes. Well, too bad. That's too bad. And yes,
why is that too bad, John? John, why is that too bad? Will we allow people into our military complex, sir?
Well, at this point, there's a difference here. There's a difference here. We had the sanctions, okay? We do not want another nation to get the bomb. That's sadly, it's the way it goes. It's just now it's all the powers that have the bomb that don't want to see another nation get the bomb. And considering some of the statements of the past from Iran, okay, as, yes, a democratic nation, but also somewhat radical nation, too. As far as their statements have been concerned.
Okay, let me, John, I need to stop you right there. John, hold on a second, because one of the things I like to do on Politics Done Right is to be fact-based.
Well, fact we have the powers based. To be. I mean, even including Russia, China, and
no,
others.
No, but what I'm saying, I don't want to...
Nobody's wanting to see another power get a bomb.
No, John, hold one second. Please give me a chance to finish what I'm saying. I want to be fact-based here. We are all Americans here, and we all believe in protecting America because we want no harm to come to America. Now, if you're outside of America, it is incumbent upon you to empathize with those outside of America and see how would they feel as a nation as a proud nation among themselves about what is to be imposed on them. Okay, in other words, we can sit down here in America, and you know, we can sit down here in America and be high and mighty about the things we want to impose on others. Others can decide if they want to be imposed upon. And then, if they don't want to be imposed upon, of course, the major power can decide if they want to blow the crap out of them. But what I'm trying to say now, as a program that believes in fairness, accuracy in statements, I wrote a post on Iran a few weeks ago, a blog post, and I think I placed it at the coffee party. There's one thing that I constantly say: Iran has a lot more to fear from America than America from Iran. And I think that's an absolute statement, not only from past actions, but current reality. So, I mean, if we want to be, you know, we can call Iran a terrorist country and all these other things. And you know what? I do think Iran supports terrorism in Yemen. I do think Iran supports terrorism in other places. But I also think America supports, I don't want to go ahead and call it terrorism because verbiage means something. But when America supports the overthrow of Manuel Antonio Noriega, when they support the overthrow of Hugo Chavez, when they support an overthrow of all these other guys, as far as these particular leaders are concerned, they consider those terrorist acts, because it's not like these are nonviolent acts to topple particular governments. So if Americans want to be honest and to get people to take us seriously, we have to look at these particular issues from an honest, I'm not talking from a political point of view. I understand that Kerry and the president, they have to go out there and saber rattled and all that kind of stuff. They have to do that because that's the game they play. But we as intelligent Americans, we have to understand the reality so that these politicians, from President Bush to President Obama to Kerry to all these guys, don't blow smoke up our you-know-what. Because that is what has gotten us into wars. Us being less than understanding of the realities of international policies. You follow what I'm saying, sir?
One thing. I do. Okay. With regards to Chavez, I understand that we're pretty much overstepping our bounds. I'll admit that. Okay. Regards to China, us telling them how they should be in their policies within political realm, whatever, we overstepped our bounds. I'll admit that. With Noriega, it was a different story. It was drugs. We went after him. That wasn't wrong. We went after him. That rightfully so.
That's my personal opinion. Wait. John, I know that, but I want, before you step that out, I just want to remember, I'm originally from Panama, and Manuel Antonio Noriega was my general. Let me say one quick thing. I didn't particularly like him, by the way. But anyhow, America has a drug problem, and America is a capitalist society, okay? Manuel Antonio Noriega was fulfilling a need. If America wanted to stop that trade, and by the way, he was just a financier. You know, he Panama was being used as a banking center, not the trafficking of drugs. But anyway, if America wanted to stop that, America should have done that within its borders. It should have protected its borders. But instead, in trying to arrest Manuel Antonio Noriega, 10,000 Panamanians lost their lives and were thrown into mass graves. If you read some reports, they'll say 1,000 Panamanians. The UN report says 4,000 Panamanians. Those of us who come from where actually got blown to smithereens, in other words, 1 mile away from where my father lives, and a couple of miles away from where my aunt lives, those places were completely decimated. There were over 10,000 people living in those areas, and those people were summarily killed, the reporters were kept out, and mass graves were dug.
I understand what you're coming from, but let me go through it with how I come, because my father was military.
Yes, sir.
And Okay, and he was a B-52 bomber. I mean, he killed, you know, massive, you know, people if when need be, and he did, and he dropped heavy bombs. But I take a look at it this way, you know, we had to really, you know, drop two big bombs at the end of the war and kill hundreds of thousands of people in Japan. But you know what? They're our ally now. Well, you know, I mean, it's a sad part of war. That sometimes, yeah, but here, you know, comes to a point where, less and less people over the years have lost their lives. So compare the millions back then. I know it's sad, 10,000 Panamanians. I know it's sad, any amount of, you know, Americans or any other, you know, countries in the world losing lives. I'll admit that. It's sad. But we have lost less and less lives over the years since World War One, World War Two. you know, Korea and Vietnam were less than World War II and I. It is sad how the transition of history has come about. It's really sad. But some things have been a necessity to change things for better. I'll admit, you know, it's been horrific.
Right. As I mentioned before, codified prejudice is an attempt to force their will. And it's amazing how that one phrase can fit into all of these. As long as we have codified prejudice, 10,000 Panamanian lives doesn't mean much. As long as we have codified prejudice, gay people not having full citizenship rights, it's not a big issue. As long as we have codified prejudice in an attempt to enforce their will, all these things become our reality. So now going back to where we want to be, and I'd like folks to realize this is a call-in show, 646-929-2495. Again, that number is 646-929-2495. I would love to hear from you. Please hit 1 so that I know that you want to say something. I was watching a program this morning, and it was amazing for me to see how many people came out and said that this week, even with the signature of the modified bills in Arkansas and Indiana, that for all practical purposes, we were snowed. And yeah, Janine, I'd love to hear your opinion of what occurred this week. So I'll call on you when I'm done making this statement here. Listen, a lot of people said we were snowed because we were looking past the reality of what was occurring. In effect, these are states without civil rights for people. So if you take a look at the wording of the law, all the law said in its correction, it said this law could not or cannot be used to defend against gays or anybody else in a restaurant being denied or whatever else being denied. It said this law, which meant other laws that are not or that are on the books in these states could be used as defense. So, I'm not a lawyer, so that actually went past me. When I saw that, when I claimed that Mike Pence made a U-turn, I said it from the ignorance of not being a lawyer. I said it from an ignorance of not being a lawyer. After I heard some lawyers on TV earlier expressing the details of the words, I said to myself, oh my God, yes, I was snowed. Oh my God, Americans were snowed. Janine, I'm going to bring you in. Did you want to add something to the discussion, Janine?
Well, my synopsis of what's been going on is very similar to what you just said. Basically, this showed up like another kind of smarty pants workaround the Civil Rights Act. And many believe that the motivation of these quote-unquote religious freedom, Freedom Restoration Act, there you go, has more to do with just taking another bite out of civil rights in civil court. You know, so this was clearly, unlike, people need to look at the laws. This one was even more blatant than any other, not the federal law. It doesn't reflect the federal law. It doesn't reflect other states' laws. It reflects the whole movement to extend corporate personhood into the domain of religion, giving it religious freedom, and saying if this corporate person is religiously offended, it, you know, can exercise certain civil liberties or civil rights. We, you know, I'm not sure what ever gave them civil rights, but and so it's just a clever way to say, you can take me to court, but I've got a defense. And so then immediately I always say, follow the money. Who is being appeased with this kind of legislation? I mean, there's what? There's 15 states up for grab right now. There's 20 that have already passed something like this, although not as extreme as Indiana. And, you know, Alec was very fast to say, we didn't do it. Well, the Christian Science Monitor thought they did. And I'm, in terms of my credibility o-meter, the Christian Science Monitor, who does not have a dog in this fight, you know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
I trust that they actually do reporting. Reporting isn't giving your opinion so much as it is actually delving facts and perhaps drawing conclusions, but, you know, it's information-based. And Alec immediately, you know, sanitized his website and blah, blah, blah. And everybody knows that when there's a wave of state-level and local-level legislation like this, where it came from, right? Even if someone else prints it. So it becomes almost a campaign fundraising strategy to put this kind of legislation out to appease the big money people who feel their corporate personhood in jeopardy, right? It's a terrible, vicious cycle. And I think it's a part of the whole notion that somehow if we can codify, I'm coming back to what you were talking about, if we can codify these dog whistle words, you know, if you can call something a freedom action, well, freedom to me and freedom to some other people does not mean the same thing. Freedom is a dog whistle word. Liberty, justice, they all have these other meanings that I think we need to discuss publicly. So that when stuff like this can come up, we can actually say, how is that freedom? How is that justice? How is that liberty? You know, and have a much, much, you know, the conversation, as long as we're using dog whistle words and as long as we're pretending to respond to the public when what we're doing is pretending to respond to potential campaign funders, then it's totally disingenuous. And it would be a waste of everybody's time, including the show, except that once it's thrown down, you got to go through the process of, you know, vetting, ratifying, vilifying, you know, the conversation has to occur. Thanks.
Absolutely. But I tell you, there is a good thing that came out of all of this, Janine. And I think, and it made me happy. You know, we at Move to Amend, the difference between Move to Amend and a lot of the other organizations that are trying to push changes to the Constitution that codifies things like money is not speech, is that most of these people, with sanctioned by many politicians because they think, they think it would be in their favor, is solely that money is not speech. And there are very few of us that are actually trying to also put within this codification that that corporations are not people. That is very, very important that we actually specify that corporations are not people, lest we get what occurred with Hobby Lobby, where the corporation now has a religion. It's amazing. The corporation cannot die. The corporation cannot go to jail, but it sure as hell can have a religion. You know, it just goes in the face. But what happens is, in a lot of, when we're doing our activism, when we're tabling, when we're out there talking to people, including when we're having people call into shows and they're strongly in support of, yes, we need to make sure that money is not speech and all of that. And I always say, yes, that's one part of the deal, but money is not speech. But as long as a corporation has civil rights and the Bill of Rights apply to them, they also have free speech. So whatever applies to you, Mr. Human Being, applies to that corporation. Is that what you really want? And what I think this discussion did, and what I think the positive that came out of it, in as much as we were snowed, like the lawyer proved me completely wrong this morning, in as much as we were snowed, what it does is it brings an awareness to people of this corporate personhood thing. Because a lot of times I go out there, I'll be frank. We stayed on the corners of Kingwood Drive and Lake Houston Drive for 52 consecutive weeks with signs that said things like corporations are not people, and we were mocking, you know, we were mocking the presidential candidate. We were mocking our last presidential candidate about saying, Mitt Romney, about saying that corporations are people, and believe it or not, a lot of people actually says, well, you know, corporations are made up of people, so corporations are people, and not understanding what the implications were. So we were standing up there 52 weeks with all these signs that were trying to enlighten people about this issue, and I think within 1 week versus the 52 weeks that we spent out there, in 1 week, I think a lot of people have a much better feeling of the danger that having a corporation has the rights of people, even though, even as many of us believe we were successful in moving the bar, in changing the law, which, as I said, didn't really occur as it should, what we saw is that politicians didn't really respond to people. They responded to corporate personhood. They responded to the will of these corporations. Is that scary or what, Janine?
Well, it's the fundamental issue here. I mean, I divested from the stock market when this happened. And I divested because not a single corporation that I had invested in ever asked me anything. They didn't ask me what candidate to support. They didn't ask me what act, you know, what their lobbyists should do. How was I their airbag, right? I mean, I was the majority shareholder of a closely held corporation when I always call it owning my business, but it was a multi-state national business, so incorporation was important. And I understood very clearly that my corporate person, if you want to call it that, was my business needed to be able to have a checking account. Well, my business wasn't a person, so it's extended personhood, so it can have a checking account, right?
Right.
It's been a convenient thing for decades, years, hundreds of years, right? It's been a tool. But now it's become a scam. And I think that the scam here really is, ultimately, if you're an investor, you have very little to say about anything except who's on the board of directors. The board of directors are the people who make all executive decisions for that company, corporation. And so you're really giving the personhood of thousands or hundreds of thousands of investors to 10, 20, maybe 30 people in some corporations, right? And I promise you, none of them asked me what I wanted to do either. And so when people sort of give me the song and dance about, oh, we're made up of people, I'm thinking, well, prisons are made up of people. And I mean, there's all kinds of things made up of people. And that didn't extend to them civil liberties, civil rights, or a place in the justice system when it comes to these matters. So I really, really do find the scary thing to be that they're using these quote-unquote religious freedom restoration acts as putting the Hobby Lobby toe, the corporate toe, in the conversation about civil rights. Now, but I'm encouraged. I have to tell you, I'm encouraged because in Oregon, one of the things everybody sort of tweets or posts about that's abbreviated is this quote-unquote poor bakery in Gresham, Oregon, that refused to make a wedding cake, right? And in Oregon, the Department of Labor and Industry that found against them, this is just from February of this year. It happened in 2013. It's made its way through the Congress. And they said, no. If you have a religion or a faith, and you, the other person, there were two people involved here, have a faith, that does not extend your faith to your business. Your business is not protected by your personal religion. And so it fined them $75,000 each and said, knock this off, you know? And
that is great. I mean, I think that is – go ahead. I'm sorry, Janine.
I'm with you, and I want you to tell me how great it is because I'm pretty proud of him. Now, will this be appealed? Maybe. This is kind of what makes the Supreme Court scary right now because I think there's a lot of good jurisprudence going on in the state. And it's, but it takes a lot of money to go to the Supreme Court. And would this be something that Oregon wanted to defend before the Supreme Court? It would hardly be the first thing. But I am pleased that we're having the public conversation. But make no mistake, this is not about individual religious liberty. This is about extending individual religious liberty to the corporate person, which is frankly only the board of directors of the corporation. So I interrupted you. I'm sorry.
Oh,
no, that is so true. But I think John wanted to come in. John?
Yeah, this is a big thing. And it's like if I discriminate against or criticize you, you know, like say I'm the religious, I'm not an atheist, okay? I'm not an atheist. But let's say, you know, here, whatever. If I discriminate against
you. Don't have
you,
to qualify that, John. I'm
no,
an
I'm
honest
just, I'm
guy.
Saying,
I don't really
I'm just
care
saying,
what
I'm
you
not,
are.
I'm not the religious fanatic, and I'm not an atheist either. But I'm just going to qualify that. That's all. If I discriminate against or criticize you, it's called religious freedom. If you return the favor, it's called religious prostitution. You can't have it both ways. You know? I mean, really. It's true.
You know,
it's
John, that's a good one, dude.
Right. I mean, it's the truth. Though, that's truth.
John,
who's ever been in business knows that if there's somebody you don't want to do business with, it's actually not hard to not do business with them. You know? And so it's like you're too busy, you don't have time. I don't like you. You don't have to say I don't like you because I'm gay. You can say, you give me a creepy vibe, man. I'm not going to do your cake. I mean, seriously, there's a gazillion ways that you can do this without being a pompous person full of righteous indignation about what the heck this cake's going to be used for. And I just find that hysterical. I really actually do. And then the case, of course, of the florists that refused flowers, you know, we all know now that those poor guys that went in to get flowers for their wedding, they've been going to that flower shop for over a decade, and they had paid thousands and thousands of dollars to these people for flowers over 10 years. But if it's for their wedding, not taking your money, buddy. Really? I mean,
right.
I think sometimes we just sort of take big jerk examples.
But then it gets serious. What if it's a doctor involved, right? What if there's a doctor involved in somebody and, they refuse to do something with them?
Oh, listen, buddy, that happens.
Well, you know, and that's
our
company is.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Go ahead, Jenny. Now I'll talk after you.
Well, I was
going
to say this happens all the time. The man who died of Ebola in Texas died because there was discrimination against him in a hospital. He came in with symptoms. He told them he'd been in an Ebola country, but he was black. He was poor. He had no insurance. So, I mean, I'm sorry, but doctors discriminate and medical institutions discriminate all the time. You know, and we saw how that
codified prejudice. Codified prejudice in an attempt to force their will. It is amazing that, I forgot what I was going to mention before, but that is so true. This is codified prejudice. But one thing that you said that people realize, it's only those people who want to be pompous, because you're correct. If you own a business, it is not at all difficult or illegal to just say, I don't want to do it. It is only illegal if you say, I don't want to do it because you are gay. I won't serve you because at that point you're going against the norms of, not the norms, but you're going against what makes us a society. And you know,
it is the law of the land.
Absolutely.
But,
and you know, that is what, go ahead, John.
I understand people who don't want to serve certain people. Like me, I had a fallout with a pizzeria guy, all right? You know, a guy at a pizzeria. So, fine. And he hates me, I hate him, that's fine. You know, we had a fallout. You know, so if he now sort of, you know, so on cold wants to discriminate against me, I understand, not a problem. But, you know, if you're a doctor or that kind of thing, that's what's serious. But, you know, there's true, genuine discrimination, and it's not supposed to be on whatever race and this and that and some of the other valid things. And then there is, okay, you don't want to do business with somebody because you just don't like them. But there's got to be a valid reason. You know?
Right, but I tell you what, now, it is important now for us. And today I posted, and this is sort of a little segue here, but today I posted for my 11 o'clock posting a note from our own Bernie Sanders, not our own, but Vermont's Bernie Sanders, as far as us really getting active on issues. And things are really getting to the point now where we must mobilize. We can talk about the codification of prejudice in order to get the will and all of that, but all of this is one of the greatest masks of what's occurring within our society present. And unless we really start the mobilization process, and I'm glad that Coffee Party is a part of that message. I wanted to give Coffee Party some great kudos. You know, when the net neutrality President Obama's real change in his net neutrality stance, I mean, he's always said he supported it, but he never quite came out in support of it in order to just about let his department, FCC department, know exactly where he was. I want to tell the Coffee Party audience, hey, folks, you were a part of it, because many of us had written op-eds not only in local newspapers. We've written op-eds for Common Dreams. We've written op-eds for Daily Coast, and we cross-posted all these guys. And it's interesting that when one of the Republican people who dissented on the FCC stated that the Daily Coast was, they actually stated the Daily Coast, if you look at the 300 or whatever amount of pages of the ruling, whatever it is that they released, they actually stated in a part of it that the Daily Coast was part of giving this information that caused the avalanche of people who were, something to that effect they wrote. So don't let anybody tell you. And the reason I use the Daily Coast is that there are some of the things that we shared that actually was stuff that originated over there, and we gave it quite a bit of coverage, if you will. So what folks do in organizations like the Coffee Party and other organizations where we are out there helping our citizenry be informed and ask our citizenry to act, it pays dividends. And that is one particular dividend that you were a part of. There's a whole lot more that we have to do. Well, go ahead, John.
Did you see
Yes.
This week the story HBO is doing on Scientology?
Haven't seen it, but I heard about it. I had not
you
seen
need
it.
To. You need to. I'll tell you.
Okay.
We're at this point, and this brings somewhat parts of the discussion. Okay, they're more like an agnostic, atheist kind of thing. They really sort of don't believe in God kind of thing. So, but they're claiming religious, freedom, and then here's IRS and everybody's persecuting them and all that kind of stuff. And they had a thing where they almost were out of business, but their whole mode is to attack, 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 and learn about people or learn about entities, including the IRS, and attack, attack, attack. And they had IRS agents, just like anybody else, they go out, therefore it's like, companies, they go out for drinks because they got to go do investigations or IRS guys do investigations, and that's what they did. And they were drinking, and of course, here, this is what the Scientology guys went out after them for, so that they couldn't go after them for money. And actually, that was part of this whole thing with the groups, the Scientologist groups and other religious groups realized that they can backlash back at the IRS, and to see...
By claiming some sort of religious liberty.
What's that?
Claiming some, are you bringing this topic up to say that these different groups just call themselves a religion in order to get some sort of a leverage over the body politic? Is that what you're really implying?
and they're getting all these, they're getting tax breaks, and they're getting basically the Scientologists were having people work for them for next to nothing, right? And then, you know, do they really believe in God or anything, you know? And they just believe in what this guy, L. Ron Hubbard. And if you listen about what L. Ron Hubbard, Hubbard believed in, it's pretty
wacky.
Yeah,
he doesn't have a good history. Yeah.
Yeah, if you listen about the history of this guy, and then therefore now, here's a religious entity, and don't touch them, don't tax them, don't this and that. It's unbelievable. But it was also another thing which was great on Bill Maher's show a couple weeks ago, that the in Vatican City, Vatican. Okay, now back in the day, you see the popes that were giving the Heil Hitler and all that, and the whatever with Mussolini. The reason why is because they set up the banking system in Vatican City, and some guy wrote a book about the history of this, and basically Mussolini granted protections to Vatican City, and of course monies were funded and channeled that were Nazi and fascist Italian, money at the time through Vatican City banks that were protected. I mean,
now, how you want to tie that into this particular discussion?
There's a separate and a tying kind of thing, but basically, they like Vatican City Bank and religious protections and whatever. Don't touch us. We still need taxed.
Yeah.
We need not to be taxed.
I get it.
Because we're going to call ourselves such, and then this whatever they called it. Like,
right.
What is it? All these things that they are, we're a religious entity. Are you really a religious entity? IRS has got to find that out.
I was wondering, John, at first I said, is John going off in left field here? But now I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to tie all this religious, the things that are being done under the purview of religion, but it's really for some other reason. But let me go ahead and get Jack in here because I see Jack is waiting. So, Jack, I hope you have your stuff ready to tell me. Come on in, my dear, dearest
okay.
Listener, Senor Jack.
Okay. I'm going to say that the whole business of religious freedom is necessary. It's bullshit. I think it is. Well, all right, we go by Clinton's thing back in 93. I don't know. That started it. I really don't know what the heck it is, but it is. Let's think it is. It may be an excuse for discrimination against Jews. I'm Jewish. It would be a professor. There's a lot of sentiment now that's the Christian world. I was back in high school. I was told that. We were told, told back when I was 11, I was crucified. We crucify our Lord. It's back to Jesus. And I want to say about Iran. That we made a major step. We just hope keep up the good work. It may not be perfect.
Let me tell you, Jack, Jack, let me stop you a second because you brought up Iran, and so you kind of segue a little bit into Iran. And anytime I hear, when people say, we hope that we keep it up. The reality is we must keep it up. The reality is that we must encourage Americans. First of all, Americans have displayed at first breath great intelligence in their support of this framework thus far. And I got to turn somebody's mic off. Okay, I was very happy, Jack. American's response thus far, because it showed it showed a hell of a, what would I call them, a reality that they see that absent this agreement, what we get is unending war. So the fact that Americans have seen this is extremely important. My concern is, and every American listening out here needs to be concerned for this, Benjamin Netanyahu is a rogue war mongerer. And I will repeat, Benjamin Netanyahu is a rogue war mongering killer. And I mean that, and I do not say that lightly. If we remember a few, and this is going to be, we're off the subject of codified prejudice, even though this as well fits the bill. But if we remember what happened in Palestine over the last year, when we had, I think it was 100 Israelis dead, over 2,000-something Palestinians dead. It is important that people realize that what occurred. Oh, some rockets were being thrown into Israel. No destruction in Israel. Gaza decimated. Limbs, people, over 2,000 dead, limbs and everything gone. I am one of the most pro-Jewish people on the planet, but I'm also one of the most pro-Palestinian people on the planet. I am pro-people, period, against governments who kill. And the reality is the pain inflicted by Netanyahu on Gaza did more to create a hate, multicultural hate than anything else. And our 47 Republicans that are standing steadfast with this killer are doing our country as America great harm. Because what it does is it does codified prejudice in an attempt to force their will. Those others out there, yes.
Roberto, one thing, is, you know, as an American and this whole thing with Israel, Palestine, okay, they're two separate countries. This is my country, America. And for any country that feels that the tail wags the dog, I'm sorry, the dog wags the tail. That's normal. We are the big dog. And I don't, you know, any country is going to tell us how we're going to be. I'm against Netanyahu and that kind of stuff. Yeah. You bet.
Thank you very much, John. That is so true. And what we have right now is Netanyahu running for American foreign policy. And let me tell you, to the spineless Democrats out there, because there are a hell of a lot of spineless Democrats that are so darn scared of Netanyahu riling up a very select few right-wing Jewish folk in the United States, that they have their tails between their legs right now. Okay, they have their tails within the leg. It is incumbent on every American to say, no, we're not going to go to war because Israel is scared that Iran becomes another power. Iran has a history. Iran, just like America has a great history of building a great society, at one time was the same thing for Iran and for a lot of these other countries. So when you see that Saudi Arabia and Israel are on the side of somehow trying to deny American good relationships with another country whose people, forget about the crazy government, but whose people are a very, very accomplished people, there is something that is wrong. When Saudi Arabia, a country, indiscriminately, yes, sir.
I like to say, first of all, in regards to Republicans, they were the first one that supported Iran in regards to Iran-Contra. Let's never forget that. And you were right
when you talk about
people, you know, Turkey, they're our allies, they're part of NATO and all that. But you know what? The people of Turkey are good people, just like the people of Iran, okay? Yeah, that's the truth. You're right on that, you know? And they're very modernized, and they're very educated, and they probably, you know, they've better, you know, things than we have in many regards, you know, so, you know, we're making, if you know, their government, we gotta try and work with their government, and our allies want to work with them, and we gotta work with our allies. It's a thing. But
we must make peace. John, I'm running out of time.
Let me quickly on this one. Here's been the problem.
Sure.
You know, all the factions, and now Saudis are our ally. And guess what? They are upset with this peace process. Okay, a lot of people don't know that. They're upset with this peace process with Iran right now, because right now with Yemen and Iran, there are some dealings that are going on back and forth, and ships are going back and forth. And now Saudi Arabia just took over an island right south of Yemen, on a Yemen island, and it's for strategic purposes. And there's a war going on actually right now. I mean, there's a war going on between those. And basically, we've stirred them up. We have stirred them up over the years, which has been bad.
Right. Now, Jack, I need to I'm going to bring Jack back in to give a closing statement. Then I'm going to come back to you, John, for a quicker. Jack, give me a closing statement, sir.
Yeah, well, the whole business, whether it's business, the Hobby Lobby is a bunch of crap, too, is absolutism versus relativism. And
correct, Jack. Absolutely.
Free speech is not absolute. Traditional religion is not absolute, and that's why so many people turn to atheism. And
thank you very much, Jack. And let that be your final word. Jump to Jack and then
bye-bye.
Janine. Thank you, Jack. Hey, give me a quick one, Jersey.
Well, the devil's in the details, like's been said in regards to this thing with Iran. You know, we have to verify that. That's without a doubt. But over ideals about democracy. I'm sorry, if this world is gone because of nuclear, destruction, forget the ideals. That's my opinion.
And do remember, there's only one country who has ever shown the propensity to use the bomb against other human beings. We don't
have that evidence from nobody else. We had to.
Well, that's what some say, but that's for another discussion. But you have a great day, my dear brother, okay?
Thank you.
And Janine, give me your wisdom.
Well, first, happy Passover to Jack and my Jewish friends and family. Happy Easter to my Christian friends and family. Happy Final Four, if that's your thing. You know what I'm saying? That's religious freedom. And I send no holiday greetings to any corporate person. And with that, I'm out.
I love that, Janine. Folks, please do remember, we have currently three shows, but we're going to get some more because we're pulling the arms of several people, including a couple of people I see in the chat room here. But anyhow, remember, on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. Eastern, Bobby, what were you thinking, brother? I take liberty with my coffee with Bobby Rodrigo. On Thursdays at 3 p.m. Eastern time, you have that lovely voice you just heard before, Lunch with Loudon, with our one and only Janine Loudon. And Saturdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, of course, I am honored to be with you, Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willie. So, folks, thank you very much for spending this time with me. Please, if you're listening to these shows, I urge you to share them. Remember, the mainstream media, they won't speak about the things with the candidness that we speak. They won't have the type of dialogue that you have with some of the intelligent dialogues we continue to have with people who actually make themselves heard. Remember, this is your station. You have the ability to be a part of the discussion. You have the ability to be a part of the solution. But to be a part of the solution, you must engage. I always like to say political involvement should be a requirement for citizenship, because unless we as citizens get involved, there will be no change in our society. And you know what? I am very optimistic that we can be the change. When President Obama said, You are the change you're looking at. Read that blog I did before. Our Savior is right there every day when we look in the mirror. This is Politics Done Right. I'm Egberto Willis. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day.